I want to thank you for having me here. Thank Pastor Ryan for asking me to come and be with you guys this morning. For somebody who's just starting out in ministry and in preaching, you know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, not because necessarily I'm afraid of people, but because of the fact that I want to make sure that I do God justice. I want to make sure that I bring honor and glory to God. But this is a call that's been on my life since I was 14 years old. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a minute, but let's open up in prayer real quick. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given me to be here with this wonderful church, Lord, for the spirit that already we can sense here. I pray, Father, that you would just fall fresh, Lord. Lord, this is something that I'm sure most of us have heard in the past and in our years, but maybe somebody here is needing just a reminder of what it means to live a life surrendered to you. So, Lord, I pray that your spirit would just fall fresh, Lord. Lord, I pray that I might decrease and that you might increase, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time and bless the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So my surrender story goes back, like I said, to the age of 13. I was 13 years old. It was a really rough time for me. It was a time when my stepmom and my dad were going through a divorce. I have two brothers that when they went through their divorce, my brothers went and they lived with their mom, and I went and lived with my dad. And I felt like, you know, I felt like I was just a pawn in that divorce. You know, it was like, you know, my mom wanted me, but my dad wanted me. You know, as let's see who can get who. And so for me, I was always just it bothered me that. Going through that, and I really felt like my life was not measuring up. I felt like there was something missing in my life. And, you know, from the age of 8, my stepmom would send my brothers and I to church. And what's interesting, I grew up not too far from here. I grew up in Blue Island, and I grew up going to a little Baptist church in Posen. And my mom would send us, my brothers and I, to this church because she wanted some time alone on Sunday mornings. So they had buses. So guess what? Hey, get on that bus, go to Sunday school, go to church. And I hated it. I hated it. And I always said, the minute I get a chance to not go to church, I'm not going anymore. So my parents started going through their divorce. I went and lived with my dad, and guess what happened? At 13 years of age, I stopped going to church. I stopped. And that lasted about 6 months. Because all of a sudden, those bus workers that came knocking at my door, and guess what happened? And I don't know about you, but here's a 13-year-old boy, and a 16-year-old girl is knocking on his door, asking him and inviting him to go to church. And wow, guess what? I went back to church. So, but God placed 3 special people in my life during that time. My youth pastor, his name is Bob, Kelly, that young lady, and another gentleman by the name of Mike. And they poured and poured and poured into me. They would pick us, my friends and I, up every weekend and take us to do something. They invested in us. Mike was a college student, was working full time. And if it was raining and I was going to Eisenhower and it was raining and I had to walk home, hey, Brother Mike, can you come and pick my friends and I up and give us a ride home? He'd wake up, pick up that phone, answer the phone, and he'd be there. He'd be there and drive us home. But again, something was just missing. But they were modeling what it was like to be a Christian. They were modeling the excitement that you could have knowing Jesus. Now, I knew Jesus. I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 8 years old. I knew him. I knew Jesus. But something was missing. I wanted to live a life for God, but guess what? There were some things that I just didn't want to give up. There were some things that I didn't want to say no to. There were some things that I just wanted to keep to myself, keep control of. But something happened on November 22nd, 1987. I was 14, a month before my 15th birthday. I'm sitting in a Sunday school class on a Sunday morning, and my pastor, my youth pastor, is teaching a lesson out of Revelation. And he's teaching a lesson, and he's out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And this is what he read. He read, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." And that just started hitting my heart. The Holy Spirit just started nudging at my heart and nudging at my heart, and I couldn't let go of it. So Sunday school was over, and here we go. We transfer and we move over to our big building for our morning worship service. And I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go. God was still, the Holy Spirit was still just pounding away at my heart, nudging at my heart. "I'm gonna spit you out. You need to make a choice. You know what I want you to do." So that morning at the altar call, I remember very well. I was still struggling. I didn't want to do it, but I finally got up, and I came down the aisle, and I remember it was right around here. It was this first pew over here. This first pew, I knelt down and I said, "Lord, whatever you want, it's yours. I give it to you all." And something happened. And I don't know about you, but I've heard it said before, it was like a weight just lifted off your shoulders. And that's exactly what it felt like. That is exactly what it felt like a weight just lifted off my shoulders that morning. It was something like I've never in my life experienced before. The peace, the contentment, the joy that I felt that day. It was unreal. My life changed. My life changed on November 22nd, 1987. I'll never forget that day. That was my surrender story. That began a journey in my life. But let me ask you this. How many of you have ever heard of Hiro Onoda? Anybody ever hear of Hiro Onoda? Hiro Onoda was a lieutenant in the Japanese Army during World War II. Hiro was assigned and stationed in Lubang Island in 1944. And in his book, it's called My 30-Year War, Hiro tells and recounts the story of him being stationed on that island, and in 1945, the U.S. forces took over the island. Most of Hiro's comrades had been killed, except a few of them. they retreated into the jungles of Lubang Island. And for 30 years, nearly 30 years, Mr. Onuda, Lieutenant Onuda, refused to surrender. He waged a war for nearly 30 years, refusing to surrender. And they would drop pamphlets from the skies telling him that the war was over, and he refused. He thought it was propaganda. He refused to surrender. It wasn't until February of 1974, that the Japanese government took one of his commanding officers and brought him to the island, and they found him, and that lieutenant, that commanding officer told him and convinced him to surrender. Almost 30 years later. And so when he surrendered, he stepped out of the jungle, and he was in his uniform, his military uniform. He had his sword on his side, and he had his rifle that he had used for nearly 30 years, still in operating condition. But he stepped out of that jungle, and you know what he said? He said that the reason why he refused to surrender was because of the training that he had received, the duty and the honor to the Japanese government. And he was told, never surrender until you're given a direct order from a commanding officer. So how do these two stories relate to us today? My story and Onoda's story is one of not wanting to surrender. Of wanting to keep control. See, when it comes to surrender, we get our duty and our honor to Christ mixed up with duty and honor to ourselves. In other words, we'll only give God the minimum. We would hold back giving Him everything. God, I want your salvation. I want your free gift of salvation. I want to go to heaven. But that's as far as I'll go. That's it. I don't want to give you everything. Just like Lieutenant Onoda, we evade being captured by God because in doing so, would mean surrendering areas of our life that we like to control. We need to get up and we need to wave that white flag of surrender and let it go. Let it go. So what does God's word say? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you, the King James, I like the way the King James says, I beseech you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy to offer, that's a willing surrender, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We need to give of ourselves. Or in other words, we need to offer ourselves. We need to present ourselves. It's a willing act. Guess what? Just like salvation, God will never force salvation on anybody. He will never force you to trust in Him. You have a choice. You have a free will. Just like salvation, surrender is the same thing. God will never, ever force you to surrender your life to Him. That is your choice. That is your choice to do, to make. But we need to be willing. It is a willing act. Every aspect of our life, our physical bodies, our feelings, our emotions, our mind, that's our perspective, how we think, how we view things. Everything that we are. Think about who you are. What drives you? All of that. God wants you to surrender it. He wants you to present it. He wants you to just give it over to Him. How do we do that? How do we give ourselves over to God? How are we transformed, like the scriptures say? We do this by one, rejecting the world's way and choosing God's way. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." And what's interesting, the Greek word translated to transform comes from the word metamorphosis. It's what a caterpillar does when it becomes a butterfly. That caterpillar, it's going around, and all of a sudden it metamorphoses. It transforms into a thing of beauty. So just like a caterpillar can transform into a thing of beauty, when we choose to surrender, when we choose to be transformed, God will make a thing of beauty of our lives. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. You know what it is? It's doing a 180. It's doing a turn. If you're going this way, it's turning around and going the opposite way. It's a 180. Look at what the world says is important. Its affections, the joy this world will bring. Can I say that there's some fun things in this world? There really is. There really is. There's money, fame, or status. What about our desires? And I'm not saying that there's anything inherently sinful with these things, but if the affection of this world are what drives us, what we strive for, and it's our sole purpose, there's something wrong. It is in surrendering that we will find a true and fulfilled life. Look with me, should be up on the screen, Matthew chapter 16, 24 and 25. Listen to the words here. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." For surrender to take hold in our lives, there are three things that Jesus asks of you and me. Number one, deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. How do we deny ourselves? It takes a humbling spirit. It takes humbling ourselves before God and understanding that it's not my way, It's God's way. Deny ourselves. You know, the world tells you, don't deny yourself. Whatever you want, go for it. Whatever you want is okay. But no, Jesus says, deny yourself. It says, take up our cross. Now, this is a hard one. This is difficult. Because denying or taking up our cross means that we're dying to self. When we pick up, when we choose to surrender and we choose to pick up that cross, we're choosing to walk the walk that Jesus walked. And when Jesus took up his cross and he walked to Calvary and he died on Calvary for you and for me. So when we deny ourselves and we take up our cross, it means that we're going to have to die to some things. There are some things that have to die in us. And the third, follow him. Follow him. This is a continuous action. A continuous action. Continually living a life of humbleness. Continually living a life of dying to self. Continually following him and his desires for our life. Can I say surrender is not easy? It's not easy. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 and 39 says, then he said to them, Jesus said to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then going a little further, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. What is the cup? The cup was his suffering. The cup was his crucifixion. The cup was his death. Jesus is praying to God the Father, God, please, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be crucified. I don't want to die. But look at what he says. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, who knew no sin, was about to take on sin, the sin of the world. And he was praying, Lord, don't let me go through this. But aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful that he surrendered his will to the Father's will and he chose to walk that road to Calvary that day? Aren't you glad that he chose to follow his Father's will? Can you imagine surrendering to the point of death? And you know what? For most of us, for probably all of us, we will never have to follow Jesus and die a physical death for him. Now, there are people in this world that do. There are people in this world that do that. But maybe it's, you know, we don't have to follow him to the point of death. But hey, maybe we have to follow him in the sense that we have to die to those things that are holding us back, that are holding us back from following him and having that life that God wants us to have. You know, maybe some of you have experienced a time in your life when you surrendered to God, not just for salvation, but you came to a point in your life when you said, Lord, whatever you want, it's yours. I'll give it to you. Lord, I give you my body. I give you my feelings. I give you my mind. I give you everything. Lord, I choose not to be led by the affections of this world. I choose not to be led by the pursuit of money and fame and desires. But I'm sure that there are some that are fighting that battle right now. Just like me as a teenager, you know God is calling you to surrender. You know He's calling you to surrender. But you're having a hard time letting go of your own will. I know it's hard. You're having that inner dialogue with yourself. On one hand, you know that the right thing to do is to surrender. But on the other hand, you keep telling yourself, I don't want to give up. And you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. I don't want to give up. Again, Matthew 16, 24 and 25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trusting that God has a better way for you. When we surrender, we are promised a better way to live. We are promised a better life. Now, does that mean that your life will be without incident, that it's going to be perfect and a bed of roses all the time? No. But what it does mean is that God is there right there with you. He is right there with you. When we surrender, we will know the acceptable and perfect will of God. When we surrender, we will bring honor and glory to His name. When we surrender, we will be set apart for His service. When we surrender, we will grow deeper in our love for Him and for others. When we surrender, we will live out His kingdom here on earth. When we surrender our all, it allows God to exchange our plans for His. And there is no better place to live than in His will for our lives. We have been given an open invitation to surrender, to walk through life with the Creator. Think about that. With the Creator of the universe. How amazing is that? As we close this morning, I want to leave you with a couple lyrics from a couple songs. This one I'm sure you guys have heard. I grew up singing it. It never failed, almost. I can just about say that every single service that we closed when I was growing up in that little Baptist church was closed with the words of I surrender all. Listen to the words. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. Almost every single Sunday I heard that song. And then the second one, when I heard this song, I couldn't stop listening to it. And it's the song Offering by the group Third Day. And listen to the words here. Magnificent Holy Father, I stand in awe of all I see. Of all the things you have created, still you choose to think of me. Who am I that you should suffer your very life to set me free? The only thing that I can give you is the life you gave to me. I love that song. I love especially that last, who am I that you should suffer your very life to set me free? The only thing, and this is my heart's desire, the only thing that I can give you is the life you gave to me. My friend, surrender is not always easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're that one that you gave your life to the Lord many, many years ago. Maybe recently. But maybe you're here and you're sitting here and you're thinking, I love Jesus. He saved my soul. I trusted him as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven one day. But you haven't given him your all. You haven't given him everything. There's something that you're holding back. And let me just say something. Just because you surrender one time doesn't mean that it's not a continuous act. Surrender is an ongoing choice that we make. I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 14. 14. Have I had times of trouble? Yes. Have I had times where I've oh God, I don't want to give you this. God, I don't no. But then I finally just realized I gave you everything one day. In 1987, I gave you everything. That means everything. That means whatever you say, whatever you might bring to my mind in 2 years from now. If you want that, I'll give you that. Surrender is not always easy, but it is worth it, my friends. It is worth living a life that is guided and molded by Jesus, a life that brings honor and glory to his name. Again, Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Surrender. A surrendered life is the only way that we will have a life that is worth something in eternity. Because when we surrender our life, God can do some amazing things. God can take our life and change another person's life. When we give him our all, he not only changes us, but he gives us the opportunity to go out and change others' lives as well. Let's pray real quick. Father, again, I thank you so much for your word, for the scriptures. Lord, I thank you that so many years ago, your Holy Spirit just continued to nudge at my heart. That so many years ago, Lord, I surrendered my life to you. That so many years ago, you changed me forever. You changed the course of my life. Lord, I know that if I would not have given you my life, Lord, I would either be dead right now or I would be in jail. Because I was walking, I was starting to walk that path that would have led me to those two destinations. But Father, because of my surrender, you've changed me. You've changed me. You've given me a purpose unlike any other purpose that I've ever had. So Lord, I pray that those that heard this message this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that they would live a life of surrender to you, that they would choose you above anything else that this world would have to offer. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.